Servant series, and we talked about Joseph. Again, it's so hard. There's such a long story. Read the whole story for yourself, Genesis 37 through 50. If you haven't done it yet, you only get half credit if you turn it in next week. But you need to read the whole story. If you haven't done it, maybe you don't read your Bible as good as you should. We all have trouble with that sometimes. But if you've never gone back and found all the old Bible stories that they used to teach you as a child and actually read them for yourself, you need to. You need to go back and read the story of Joseph. Read the story of Moses and the Exodus. Read about Abraham and Isaac. Read Daniel and the lion's den. Read David and Goliath. Because when we teach those stories to children, we break them down. Just get on the points that we know will get the kids' attention, you know. We tell the kids about how David picked up these rocks and he hit Goliath. We don't talk about the fact that he actually picked up enough stones. And if you read your Bible enough, Goliath had brothers. You may not have known that, but Goliath did have brothers. David had picked up enough rocks he could kill them all if he had to. What I'm telling you is there's parts of the Bible that you don't see if you don't read the story. When Daniel was put in the lion's den, you missed the part that King Darius signed it with his ring, and it says, so that his situation might not be changed. He was king of the world at the time, and he thought because he had signed that rock that things couldn't be changed. And then God changed it. We don't tell the kids that part. We just tell the kids the part Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, God shut the mouths of the lions, and we miss those verses. Same thing's going to happen. If you don't read this, there are going to be some things in the story of Joseph that God wants to show just you. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with anybody else in this room. But if you will read it, there will be some verses that will jump out to you and go, oh, that part was for me. And so today, this is what God's helped me choose to share with you, and hopefully it'll speak to you. But last week, we started a series. We talked about Joseph. We talked about the very beginning of the story and his dreams, the dreams that God had given him. Joseph knew that he was destined for more than just being Jacob's favorite son that everybody else in the family hated. Because that's really who he was. He was Jacob's favorite son, but everybody else in the family hated him, and he was given these big dreams. He was given big dreams that one day people were going to bow down to him. But in the middle of this dysfunctional family, it would have been very easy for him to say, but how could that be? How could I, in the middle of this family, ever be that important? And where I live, there's not even a king. Like, what would I be, God, to where people would bow down to me? Am I just going to be in charge of my family? He just knew that there was something more than what he was right then. If you remember, I told you the same is true of you, that God has a great and wonderful plan for you, and you need to let go of what you might want to be and take on God's dream for yourself and say, I want to be what God wants me to be. I know that in the world that we live in, it takes a lot of faith and a lot of trust to look past all the stuff. We deal with a lot of stuff, people and strife and struggles and ups and downs and whatever you might be facing. Sometimes it's hard to look past those things and say, one day God's plan is going to come to fruition. One day what God has planned for me is going to happen. So I'm going to tell you about something that's absolutely a must. This is not a maybe. This is not a, it would be good for you. This is not an encouragement. This is me telling you it's a must. You have to trust and obey God. Absolutely. If you want to be a Christian, trust and obey is an absolute must. We sing a song about it sometimes, and it's one of those things that you have to do it. The person that wrote that song knew. It's in those words. He says what you have to do to really follow God is trust him and obey him. As the story of Joseph continues, he becomes a great example to us. Now, if you remember where I left off last week, Joseph has now upset everybody in the whole family. He not only was already hated, he made it worse. There was a problem, and he poked it. That's what happened. I don't think he was doing it on purpose, but it's exactly what happened. The brothers already hated him. God gave him these dreams, and Joseph came to his brothers, and he said, hey, I had this dream. And they're like, yeah, like we care. And he goes, no, I want to tell you. And they're like, we don't want to hear it. He says, no, listen, you're going to bow down to me. Really? Well, you thought I hated you before, right? And the Bible literally says that they could not say a kind word to him. It says they would not speak kindly. guts. And then he comes to them and says, I've had two dreams now. And in both of those dreams, the family bows down to me. And I really think he was just telling them, trying to say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but God's got something big planned for me. But all it did was entrench them in their hate. Well, they're all out working in the fields with their sheep, and his dad calls him in, and he says, Joseph, I want you to go check on your brothers. You're 17, 18 years old now. I need you to go check on your brothers. You go check on them, bring back a report to me. Now, one of the reasons that Jacob did that is, one, he really wanted somebody to check on his boys, but two, Joseph had already snitched on them before. So he knew Joseph was honest. He knew if I sent Joseph to check on the boys, when he comes back to me, he'll tell me the truth about what they're doing. If they're actually doing their job, if they're out messing around, if they're actually sticking together, Joseph, I need you as the son that I can trust to go make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. As Joseph goes out to look for them, and if you plot his path and the distance that he had to go, it was days that would have taken him to find his brothers. It actually says he came to a spot where he thought they were, and they weren't there, and a guy says, well, I think your brothers have gone this way. So 5-6 days, maybe a week, he's out here looking for his brothers because he cares about them. He cares about his brothers. He cares about his dad. And so he puts forth this effort to go check on them. But when his brothers see him, it says they look at each other and go, oh, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamboat, right? Here comes Joseph. And so they look at each other and they go, you know what we ought to do? Let's kill him. Literally, it's their brother. And one of them says, let's kill him. Dad's not even here. Let's beat the pudding out of him, right? Let's just drag him around like we would when we're, you know, you distract him and I'll push him over you, and then we'll just beat him into submission. And there, who knows the things they might have said that they wanted to do to him. But it finally comes into fruition that, you know, somebody's saying, I don't know if we can really kill him. And they start talking about these things. And so what they finally decide is, we're going to get him and throw him in a hole. Let's just throw him in a pit. And so there's a pit there. It's a well, but it has no water in it. So they get him, and they take that coat of many colors that they want to strangle him with. They hate that coat. You can tell by the story, they hate that coat. That was just proof of how much their dad loved him and not them. So they rip the coat off, and in front of him, I'm sure, they were ripping it up and kicking holes in it, and they throw him in the pit, and then they kill an animal and rub animal blood all over this coat. And they said, well, take this coat back to dad and tell him, oh, man, we found Joseph's coat. He must have got killed by wild animals. That's a good idea. So that's what they come up with. So now here's Joseph in this pit with his brothers. His brothers did it. I'm not talking about he ran into a group of bandits on the backside of a mountain. It was his brothers. He found his brothers, and they threw him in a pit. And don't think they didn't beat him and punch him and kick him around a little bit first. So he's hurt. Probably hurts to be thrown in a pit. So he's down there in the bottom of a pit, and his brothers see a tribe, a caravan of Ishmaelites coming by. Modern-day Muslims. The Muslim tribe of caravans going by, and they say, hey, dude, not only can we get rid of him, we can make a little cash. And they're like, what do you mean? He goes, sell him. It's slave trade. They're right there. Somebody go get their attention. We'll sell Joseph to them. They sold their brother to the Ishmaelites. So here's Joseph. He goes to see his brothers. He gets thrown in a pit. He gets pulled out of the pit only to be sold to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites take him, and I'm sure their ride was wonderful. I'm sure it was wherever they were going, it was a great trip. They treated him very kindly, you know, 3 hots and a cot. It was really nice. And they got him to where they were going, and they sold him again, this time to Potiphar. Potiphar is the captain of the guard for the Pharaoh. He's now made the trip all the way to Egypt, and he is now in custody, in possession of the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. And that's where I want to start reading today. I told you I have to really work hard to figure out where we're going to read and how much we're going to read. It wouldn't be fair if I don't read. It's a little more than usual, but I think we need to read this today. It's Genesis 39. We're going to read these 23 verses. If I get going too fast, somebody just yell, slow down. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph. Listen to that phrase every once in a while. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household. He entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." And he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "our master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or to even be with her. In other words, he's smart. Not even going to spend time in the same room with this lady. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." And she kept his cloak beside her until the master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me?" He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Heard this story before. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those he held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for that passage, for the entire story of Joseph and all that it can teach us today. And Father, I do pray that you would speak mightily through these words today. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's be real honest today. How many of us would be able to handle all the strife the way Joseph did? Now, can you imagine? Your dad loves you, but everybody else in the household, 15, 20 people and all the servants, hate your guts. Won't even speak a kind word to you. When you're home with all that many people, the one person that you can talk to is your dad. And it's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're evil. It's not because you've been a jerk to them. It's because you're good. It's because you're the goody-two-shoes of the group. People are sick and tired of you because you do what you're told, because you're kind, because you're loving, and because you do what God tells you to do. And because God has given you dreams and aspirations bigger than them. Your brothers hate you so much that after you spend a week looking for them, they beat you up and throw you in a pit. Your brothers sell you into slavery. But then you end up someplace pretty cool, right? I mean, as a slave, it doesn't really get much better than that. Nobody wants to be in slavery, but if you're going to be in slavery, being sold to the rich guy who eventually lets you live in the house and doesn't call you slave but says you're my attendant, and you know what? You can be in charge of everything. Joseph had it about as good as a slave could have it. He actually was living better at Potiphar's than he ever did at home. I can promise you that Potiphar had better food than Jacob. I can promise you that the way that he was living there with people around him that liked him and talked to him was in charge of other people, it was way better than the way he felt at home. So he finally got to something, and I'm sure in his mind he thought, well, God, this isn't what I expected, but wow. And all of a sudden, here comes Potiphar's wife. And she starts in, and it says day after day after day, she makes advances at him. And he does everything he can to rebuff her. He says no. He tells her why he's saying no, and then he tries to just avoid her. By the way, there's a whole entire sermon just on the way that Joseph handles that situation. Number one, say no. Number two, stay away from them, right? Put space between you, and if it gets too bad, run away, right? There's a whole sermon just right there. You want to make all those excuses? Well, here's the reason why and how it doesn't happen. You say no, you stay away from them, run if you have to. There you go. There's your stump speech. Write it down, remember it. But he gets through all that, but then this wife lies. And there might have been a part of Joseph that when it came up, he thought, well, surely he'll believe me. I've never done anything, but no. And he ends up in prison again. And here he is, after all this, in prison. Raise your hand if you think you can handle things the way Joseph did. All right, well, guess what? You could have. Here's the secret. The secret is every single one of you could have done the same thing. This is what I want you to know. Joseph isn't any different than you. You could. I know you don't feel like it, and I know when we read that story, we think, oh, he's a Bible hero. Look what he did. That's so great. You can do the same thing. I promise you. It's biblical that you can do the same thing. The key is to trust and obey. There's your key. You see it in verse 2. You see it in verse 21. You see it at the very end of the story that Jesus was with him. The Lord is with him, right? Now you're saying, oh, you said Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus was there. He was there at the beginning. When it says the Lord is with him, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, they're all there with him, right? God is with him. Why? Because he trusted God and he obeyed God and he was right there with him. So whatever situation you are in life, right? God wants to be with you. You can do that. You can be obedient. We all face tough times, right? We all face times that we don't want to face. We all face things that we didn't see coming. We have things that happen to us unfairly, things we don't deserve. We have sickness. We face loss. We have peaks, and then all of a sudden you have twice as deep valley. All kinds of moments that we face in life, but through every single one of those, the key for us is to trust God and continue to be obedient. I told you last week that it's our responsibility to let go of our earthly aspirations, let go of what we want to be, and take hold of what God wants us to be. And once you do that, God, now understand, God's not going to reveal the whole thing to you all at once, right? You have to say, God, I'm going to follow your plan. Now, he's only going to reveal a little bit at once. Can you imagine being 17-year-old Joseph and having this whole plan revealed to you? Can you imagine how overwhelming that would have been? I mean, at 17, he could have told Joseph, hey, in the end, people are going to rule over you. That's about all that Joseph knew. He kind of had an idea in his head that God had something great in store for me. And I can tell you the same thing. In the end, God has something great in store for you. You can be the person he created you to be. There is a heaven awaiting you. Streets of gold, pearly gates, no pain, no sorrow, no crying. What God has in store for you in the end is great. But if I told you all the things in between, I mean, can you imagine if God just told Joseph, hey, listen, yeah, it's all true, you're going to be a great leader someday, but your brothers are going to throw you in a pit and sell you slavery. What? What was that? The third part. Well, yeah. All right, first you can get thrown in a pit and sell you slavery, and then you go to Potiphar, and then you go to prison. Can I just opt out? Can I just not? I'm sure if this is the story that you were told of your life, there's a lot of us and say, you know, I think, honestly, I can come up with a better plan. I think I can get to the same place but maybe not go through all that stuff. Of course we would think that way. We do that. People do it all the time. They face tough times in their life, and they quit, and they give up, and they walk away, and they quit going to church, and they don't read their Bible, and I don't like church anymore, and God doesn't exist, and you're going, wait a minute. Just because those things happen in your life doesn't mean that you get to stop trusting God and you get to be disobedient. And by the way, when you do that, you don't get to then ask God to bless you. Right? Right? People don't like that part of the story. Joseph could pray and ask for God's blessings every day. You know why? Because he was doing what God wanted him to do. He was trusting God, and he was being obedient. But do you know how many people want to opt out of the plan and then still benefit from it? You know, there was a time where people could opt out of Social Security, right? I think you still probably can. But there was a time where I know my dad and some of the guys that I worked with, some of them opted out. And boy, was he sorry. Because when he got of age, he wished he had the benefits of his Social Security, but he didn't get it. Why? Because when he didn't like what it took, he quit. And some of us, when we don't like what it takes to serve God, we quit. But then we sure want the benefits later. When somebody gets sick, or somebody passes away, or our ankle hurts, or whatever it might be, oh God, please. And he can go, I thought you didn't want to do it. I thought you didn't want anything to do with me. Remember last week when I asked you to do something for me and you said no, I thought you were opting out. Well, maybe I want back in for a day. Right? Well, I don't have any day plans. Right? Either you're in or you're out. Either you trust God and you obey him and you can expect him to keep all of his promises, or you go do what you want to do and you're on your own. We understand that. That's how this works. Either you're in or you're out. And I think a lot of us, if we were going through what Joseph went through, sadly, a lot of us would have said, God, I don't want anything to do with this. What kind of God's going to let my brothers throw me in a pit? That's what people say, right? What kind of God would let a child, what kind of God would let a person who served God for so many, and fill in the blank, I've heard it enough times, let me tell you, the same kind of God that's going to see you through, the same kind of God that loves you, that sent his son to die for you. You see, we live in a fallen world. Stop blaming God for the things that sin has caused. If you want to be mad at the devil. If you want to be mad at sin. Be mad at evil. Your job is to trust and obey God, and he will see you through. The key for you and the key for me that we must understand is this. No matter what we face, we have to stay obedient. We have to remain on the path of righteousness. We have to trust God to see us through. You know, like Joseph, the Lord will always be with you. One of the things that you'll notice about Joseph, and I believe, and we notice it later about Paul, but the key for Joseph was he knew that at any given moment, that if his life was taken from him, he still was just going to go to heaven. Do you understand if when he was in that pit, that he knew, God, I don't really understand what's going on here. But he knew that if he died in the bottom of that pit, he was just going to go be with God. And when they drag him out and they sell him into slavery, he knew, okay, God, you're in control of this. I don't understand what's happening, but if they take me someplace and beat me and kill me, then I guess I'll go to heaven. And if I don't go to heaven, I'm just going to keep serving you. It's the exact same thing that happened to Paul. Paul was taken, he was beaten, he was threatened to be killed. And in a letter that he wrote to the church of Philippi, he wrote in Philippians 1:21, he said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Which is Paul's way of saying, if you kill me, I go to heaven. If you let me live, I'm just going to keep living for Jesus. That's Joseph, in a nutshell. Hey, if you don't kill me, I'm just going to keep doing what God wants me to do. God's always been so good to me, and I'm not giving up on him. That's the lesson that we have to learn. This is the faith and the trust that we need. If you can look at the end of your life, if you can look all the way to the end and say, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to spend an eternity with him, then there's nothing else that life can throw at you to knock you off that path. There should be nothing that would stop you from being obedient, to completely trust him. But let me tell you something that happens. We often have trouble trusting God because we are in situations that we shouldn't be in. And when we're asking God for help, we're actually just crying for mercy instead of standing upon his promises. With me? If you're not with me, listen. One of the problems we have is that when we pray, we're just simply crying for God's mercy because we know we're where we shouldn't be. If we're where we're supposed to be, I just stand upon his promises. It means I already have them. It means God's already told me he was going to take care of me. I didn't get here through disobedience. I didn't get here by doing things I shouldn't do. This is just where life has taken me. So all I have to do is keep trusting God. I'm not over here to where I know I shouldn't have been here. I knew I shouldn't have been with these people. I know I shouldn't be in this relationship. So now when I pray, I'm just simply begging for mercy. And God doesn't owe me a thing. You with me? We hearing this? Because this is the prayer we pray more than that one. It's this one. I'm going to do whatever I want, and then when things get bad, I'm going to pray that God has mercy on me. And you know how many times he's done that and we didn't deserve it? I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, but I dare say every person in this room has said that prayer. God, if you, I will. Fill in the blank. God, if you will just get me out of this. God, please take this, and then I will. I don't have to pray that prayer over there. Over here, I'm doing what God asked me to do. So over here, I just have to say, God, I know what you've promised me. I'm going to trust in you. You see, I don't have to get up in the morning and say, God, please supply my needs today. Not if I'm being obedient. Not if I'm being obedient. We do it, but you don't have to. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't have to beg God to do that for me when I'm being obedient. Joseph didn't have to cry out from that pit, oh God, please be with me. He knew God was with him. When they sold him to the Ishmaelites, he didn't have to say, oh God, are you going to come with me? He knew God was. He just kept being obedient. And when they got there, God said, Joseph, I am so proud of you. Watch what I'm going to do with you. Every step of the way, because Joseph trusted God. We don't think of it that way. But every time you leave his path and go to yours, it must be that you trust your ideas more than his. It must be that you think your plan is better than his plan, or your plan's more fun than his plan, or it's going to have a better outcome than his plan. In one way or another, you're saying, God, I don't really trust you all that much. I'm going to do it this way. But you sure trust him when you get in trouble. You sure trust him when everything falls apart. Have you ever noticed how odd that is? That we always want to call God once things go bad, but we don't want to trust him so we never have to go bad? Wouldn't that be easier? Joseph was in the situation he was in because of other people's sin and other people's disobedience, and simply because the world is evil. And that's going to happen to me and you sometimes. We get sick. We lose people to cancer. We suffer with things that people suffer with. Right? We have ups and downs. We have good days. We have bad days. And that's normal for everybody. But you and I don't have to put ourselves in some of the positions we do. If we would simply trust and obey God, you're far better off than you will ever be anywhere else. And Joseph is such a prime example of just that. If you're off the path today, if you're out here living in disobedience, you need to throw yourself upon the mercy of God and start to trust and obey him. Use his spirit to work your way back to where you're supposed to be, to where you can be in a position to where you say, from now on, now that I'm where I'm supposed to be, I'm going to stay on this road. I don't like that over there. I don't like having to dig, crawl, and ask God for help to get back to where I need to be. I want to stay right here. And do you know the difference in a person that can say, God's going to take care of me, instead of, boy, I hope God saves me? There's a big difference. Because when I'm walking beside God, I can say, he's right here. I don't like that diagnosis, but I know God's with me. And either he's going to fix it or he's going to help me through. It's going to be all right. But if I'm over here and I get that diagnosis, I'm going to wail and scream and cry. And then I'm going to ask people over here to pray for me. I'm going to ask people over here who trust and pray and obey God. I'm going to say, hey, will you pray for me? Well, why you got to ask everybody for that? Don't you know that God's going to be okay? Don't you know that he will supply for you? People, Joseph is a perfect example. No matter what's happening in your life, you put your head down, you trust God, and you'll be obedient. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what big questions you have for God. We all have them. God, why this? Why is this happening? What do I do next? I get it. But if you want God's plan to come to fruition in your life, if that's what you want, if your main goal is to be who God wants you to be, to make it to heaven, then your job is to trust and obey. That's the key. What God did for Joseph is amazing. And as we go through and end this story next week, it only works because Joseph trusted God. It only works because Joseph said, God, I have no idea what's going on, but I'm just going to keep doing the right thing. And I know of people who've lost jobs because they just were doing the right thing, made somebody mad because they did the right thing. There have been preachers who have been kicked out of churches for doing the right thing. There have been people run out of the church by preachers and board because they were doing the right thing. There have been people who have been martyred because they were doing the right thing. You see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change because the world changed. The right thing is always the right thing. If the whole world is doing the wrong thing, the right thing is still the right thing. And Joseph knew, hey, my brothers are a bunch of jerks, and they threw me in a hole and they sold me into slavery, but I'm going to keep doing it. You know, he could have probably talked his brothers out of it. He probably could have said, hey, man, I'll stop doing that, and I'll lie to Dad, and I'll do this. He could have changed his whole attitude years ago. When they got mad at him, he could have become a different person and become just like them. And you know what they would have done? They would have just taken him in, and they'd have said, oh, man, he's one of us. But Joseph said, I'm not one of you, and I will never be one of you, because I trust and obey God. And that is why he stood out from everybody else. You take him to Potiphar's, he stood out from everybody else. And Potiphar said, man, I don't know what is up with this kid, but he is amazing. You can be in charge of everything. Then he gets mad at him and throws him in prison. And when he gets to the prison, the warden says, man, I don't know what's going on with this person, but he is amazing. You can be in charge of everything. And what you're going to find out is that continues for the rest of Joseph's life. There is nobody like Joseph because he trusted and obeyed no matter what. And the same thing can be true of you. You thought you couldn't do it, but you can. Every single one of you can have amazing things happen in your life